Your Bibles be turning to Ephesians chapter 6. As already stated, but we're going to say it again. Happy, happy, happy Mother's Day to all who are present and who have bore children and raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You are appreciated. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Never underestimate the influence of a godly mother on her children. Just think of Lois and Eunice, whose unfeigned faith showed up in Timothy. It was because of their teaching that he came to know Jesus and the salvation which is found in him. I know we referenced this a couple years ago, but if I ask you who Anna Jarvis is, do you know? That's good. It'll be like it's new to you. The year was 1907, and Anna Jarvis, after losing her mother a couple of years before, began a campaign for an official recognition of mothers, a Mother's Day of sorts. And just a few years later, in 1910, West Virginia was the first state to acknowledge mothers in the way we do. About 4 years later, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed an official proclamation making the second Sunday in May a national holiday for honoring mothers. That's a wonderful story. Aren't you thankful for Anna Jarvis? She chose to do this. And now Mother's Day is celebrated really all over the world. In fact, I talked to a Ghanaian brother yesterday via messenger. I wanted him to wish his wife a happy Mother's Day. And I said, do you celebrate that in Ghana? And he said, yes. I said, what day do you celebrate it on? He said, tomorrow. So evidently that custom has made its way over there. So happy Mother's Day. I do realize at the same time, although this is a day of great joy for a lot of people, opportunity either to spend time with mom, whom you love so much, or you have good memories of your mother. On the other hand, I know that this is not an easy time for some folks. Mother's Day is maybe the reminder of a relationship that wasn't very good. That's possible. Or maybe, and God forbid, but I know that it's true in a lot of cases because we live in a fallen world. You may be a mother who's lost a child. So Mother's Day is extremely difficult to you. When I was about 16 years old, on the second Sunday in May of 1983, I was at a concert in Dallas. I won't tell you the band that I went to see, but just think of a hearing-impaired feline, and you can come up with the appropriate name. Just think about that. All right? And a number of my classmates were in Dallas on that evening to see the same band. And word began to travel throughout my group that a young man that we all knew, his brothers went to high school with us, but the youngest son of a particular family was killed in a boating accident on Mother's Day. He was about 12 years old. So I'm absolutely certain that this is not a good day for that particular mother. So I don't know where you are as far as that's concerned. But what I hope is that in discussing motherhood this morning, I want you to realize that no matter where you are, the lesson is deeper than just an appreciation for mothers. Because when we talk about how we ought to feel about our mothers, how we ought to view the role of motherhood, as we've said before, it's sort of a lesser to greater type of situation or subject. In other words, if you don't learn to appreciate your mom and dad, you'll probably never learn to appreciate God. And everything we're going to say about what we owe our mothers today can also be said of our Heavenly Father. So if this isn't an easy day for you, if you don't really want to focus on it as it has to do with your mom or your situation, understand that what we're going to say is completely applicable for any of us because the same truths apply to God. You with me on that? Let me say one other thing about Anna Jarvis for a moment. She eventually went to jail. Not for long, but she went to jail because there was a mother's convention held several years later and they were passing out white carnations. She didn't appreciate that because that was the symbol that she came up with to symbolize the day. But she had become so frustrated by the commercialization of Mother's Day that she went and basically protested at a mother's convention, and she got thrown in jail. They messed her day up. And you don't mess a woman's day up who's worked that hard, that's for sure. She said, I never wanted it to become what it's become. She said, mothers, it's not that they don't deserve things, but what they deserve more than anything else is sentiment, love, and caring. And I have to agree with her on that. Let's talk about some things we owe our mothers. All right? And again, I don't know where you are, but what can be said about mothers can be said about God, because it all comes back to this. First thing we owe them is obedience, especially if we're still in the home and we're young. Look at Ephesians 6, first couple of verses there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We'll say something else about the following statement in just a moment. Children in the home need to think seriously about obedience to their parents, especially if they're old enough to understand the difference between right and wrong. I also know that as young people, if there's ever a time to make mistakes, and we make them all of our lives, but if there's ever a time to make them, we tend to make the worst ones oftentimes when we're young. We look back and like David, we say, we pray to God, forgive me for the sins of my youth. But when we look at what the Bible says about children and their obligation to their parents, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Colossians chapter 3, where the same statement is found, it says something to the effect that this is well-pleasing to the Lord. If you're old enough to know right from wrong, you ought to want to please God and please your parents. We owe our mothers obedience. On the other hand, keep your finger marked there in Ephesians 6. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. There's a statement that's found a couple of times. Here's the thing. Ephesians 6, the first couple of verses, are certainly directed towards young children in the home, still under the tutelage and oversight of parents. Would you agree with that? I think you would. There is a sense, though, that no matter who we are, especially if we've had godly parents, a godly mother who helped raise us, that we ought to be willing to obey them in a sense all of our lives. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. The same statement is found also in Proverbs chapter 6, where in essence the wise man urges his son to heed, to listen to hear the commandment of his father. And then the next statement, Proverbs 1 and verse 8, do not forsake the law of your mother. He talks about how that sort of behavior in a symbolic way is like having beautiful jewelry on. There's a statement in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 about honor your father and mother. Titus chapter 2 and verse 10 about adorning yourself in the doctrine of God. Now, I bring that up because there are things that our mothers teach us, especially if they're God-fearing women, that stick with us all of our lives and that we ought to heed no matter where we are or what's going on. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. I want you to notice something here. We talk about how this idea goes from lesser to greater, all right? In Proverbs chapter 6, we find the same statement being made. Verse 20. Notice this expression. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep your father's command, just like in chapter 1 and verse 8, except I think in verse 8 of chapter 1, it's hear or listen to your father's command. And do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When they sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep you from the immoral woman. Now, if we had time this morning, this is not picking on women. This is a father's advice to his son. He's simply saying, listen to your father, listen to your mother who have taught you how to be faithful before God. Because when we think of Exodus 20 verse 14, one of the Ten Commandments is this. Do not, thou shalt not commit adultery. So when we start looking at this concept of Do not forsake the law of your mother, especially if you had a mother who raised you up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Is remember those truths because she gave them to you for your benefit. And in this instance, we see the law of the mother is in line with the law of God. So we owe our mothers obedience, even outside the home, as it pertains to doing the right thing. I understand that in my case, you know, I realize that I'm not going to be obedient to my mom like I was when I was 9. My mother still is living with us. She's 86 years old. She'll be 87 this July, God willing. And if I obeyed her in the same sense as I did when I was 9, I couldn't go outside after dark. But I'm 53 years old. I told her, Mother, I will go outside whether the sun's down or not. Now, there's a lot of things she said as I was growing up that are still there. I cling to her law, which was originated with God's law. We owe our mothers obedience. In the second place, look at Ephesians 6. I hope you kept your finger there, your tassel there. Hayden's shaking his head no, but he's a prized pupil of the Brown Trail School of Preaching, so he can quickly find Ephesians 6 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then we have, from the Ten Commandments, we have Paul say, or write, honor your father and your mother. For this is the first command with promise, that you may live long on the earth, right? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Notice what we owe both mom and dad, but we're focusing on mom today because it's her day. Every day ought to be your day. Honor her. Honor her. Give her the respect that she deserves. You might be saying, well, preacher, you don't know what kind of mother I am. No, I don't. And even if you can't honor your mother, you ought to honor the role of motherhood. You know, there's a lot of things that men can't do that women do and vice versa, but here's one that men will never be able to do, and that is men will never be able to bear children. Ever. I don't care how many surgeries they undergo. Never, ever will they be able to. And in talking about proper roles in 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the home and the church, we shouldn't be surprised that there's this cryptic statement by Paul talking about Eve in the first place. Nevertheless, she will be saved nevertheless, she shall be saved through childbearing if they continue. Well, how can a woman be saved through childbearing? What in the world does that mean? Does that mean women have to have children to go to heaven? Absolutely not. That's not it. It's about a role. It's about a woman living before God as He created her and the role that she gave her. And the one thing that women can do that men will never be able to do is have children. There is honor in motherhood. Honor in motherhood. And although it's fine for families to determine what they want to do as far as vocation is concerned for both husband and wife, if a woman decides she wants to stay home with her children, that is honorable. Not every family can do that. I get that. But what pains me is that in our secular culture, the idea of a woman staying home, somehow you're reducing her to some sort of slavery, some sort of second-half citizenship. No, it is honorable. Nobody will impact society more than mothers do. Understand that. We all need dad. Nobody's denying the place of dad in the home. We're just saying, a mother's role is extremely important. She deserves our honor, our respect. Here's something else to consider. Our obedience. Respect. How about this? She deserves our adoration and our praise. When was the last time, if you can, that you told your mother how much you appreciate her, how much you love her? Is it a biblical principle to talk to our mothers that way, to remind them how much we appreciate them? Yes, look at Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. We'll go everywhere preaching the word this morning. Proverbs chapter 31. King Lemuel. I'm glad my mother didn't name me Lemuel. She could do it over, she might say LaDonkey, but not Lemuel. All right. Well, good old Lemuel learned something. Notice what he learned and to whom he gives credit. In the very first verse of Proverbs chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Isn't that something? Do not forsake the law of your mother. And here he gives the picture of the virtuous woman or virtuous wife. Very important passage as it relates to godliness. Now notice something about what Lemuel says as it pertains to this woman, this wife, this mother. If you drop down to verse 27 of Proverbs 31, again, we could read the whole thing, but again and again and again, there's this adoration, this praise being given for this faithful wife, this faithful mother. And in verse 27, he says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And notice this, her children rise up, and what do? They call her blessed and her husband also. They acknowledge her for who she is and the importance that she has in the family. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We deserve to give our mothers adoration and praise. Staying in the book of Proverbs, here's what we owe our parents. You know, one of the things that grieves parents often is when once the child leaves the home, son or daughter, they begin to do things they shouldn't do. Heartbreaking. How many mothers have prayed for years for their children to come back to the Lord, and they did. It was the influence of that godly woman who prayed and encouraged again and again and again. But notice this, when we start talking about what we owe our parents, look at Proverbs chapter 17. Here's what we owe them, what we owe our mom. This is in the home and out of the home. No matter your age, and even in her memory, or even as it pertains to the subject of motherhood, the demonstration of wise living. What is true wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do His commandments. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction, Proverbs 1 and verse 7. What does wise living look like? It's living in light of a healthy fear and reverence for God. We owe that to our mom. We owe that to our dad, but we're talking about mom this morning. Notice verse 24 of Proverbs chapter 17. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding. But the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. Notice verse 25. It says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. I don't want to come to the end of my life and look back over and think, my experience with my mother, how I lived before her, it was bitterness to her. She doesn't deserve that. She burnt through me. She raised me. She took care of me. I owe it first of all to God and myself, but then to her, to live a life that demonstrates godly wisdom, whether I'm in the house or outside the house. That's what we owe our mothers. Again in Proverbs, just turn a few chapters over, particularly to chapter 23, 24 and 25. This overlaps the previous point. Here's what I owe my mother. For her sake, her reputation, mine, and the glory of God, I owe her righteous living. That is to live in a way that's right as God prescribes. Verse 24, Proverbs 23. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. You know, there's a statement in 3 John 4, which was John's statement regarding those whom he had converted. But I think it's true for any parent, for any mom. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Is there anything that a parent who thinks about God's ways and values them above all else, is there anything they want more than to know that their children walk in truth? There's nothing more important than that. The Bible says, he who is righteous practices righteousness. 1 John 3, verse 7. I owe it to my mother to live the best life I can by God's grace in light of His will to not only honor God, but honor her. One last point. It's in 1 Timothy 5. You can leave the Proverbs behind. Just wave as you go. 1 Timothy 5. Maybe you've heard this statement before. If anyone does not provide for his own, and I want you to turn there, we're going to look at it. Especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. That's 1 Timothy 5:8. I've often thought about that verse in light of the deadbeat dad. You know, the fellow who fathers kids all over the place, doesn't take care of them, or even one child, and refuses to take care of that child. He's a deadbeat dad, right? And I think in 1 Timothy 5:8, that should never be true of any Christian. But if you look at verses 3 through 16 very carefully of 1 Timothy 5, he's talking about children repaying their parents and grandparents. What do I owe my mother? To take care of her. Now, I've been blessed to move my mother into my house. I don't know how long I'll have her. Not everybody can do that. But I always owe my mother what I can give her in that regard, care and concern. There may come a time I can't take care of her. Some of you have gone through that. You know how that feels. But even if I can't, I'm not going to forget about her over in some place. You see, she has emotional needs. I can always meet them. There's always something I can do to bring her peace and comfort in her latter days. I owe her that. 1 Timothy 5, 3-16, you know who the infidel is? The unbeliever, as far as practice is concerned, the one who has nothing to do with his or her parents just simply because they're too stinking selfish. Stinking's not the best adjective. There's probably a better one than that. And here's what we're saying, even if you can't relate to this morning because of wherever you are, isn't it true that we owe God our obedience? Certainly. Isn't it true that we owe God our respect, our adoration, praise, wise, righteous living, concern, set your affection on things above? All of these things relate to God because it's a lesser to greater sort of a mentality. Mothers, we appreciate you. Hope you have a great day. Hope your kids have bought you lots of gifts so Anna Jarvis will be happy. No, she wouldn't be happy. I hope that they demonstrate to you how much they love you because you deserve it. Nobody loves you, though, more than God. It's hard to believe in light of some mothers, but nobody loves you more than God. He sent His only begotten Son for you that you might enjoy everlasting life despite your sin. This morning, if you believe in Jesus, you've never repented of your sins and confessed Him and been baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins, we'd love to help you in that. Wouldn't that make a lot of mothers' day if their children would make that decision? Or maybe it's time to come home. Maybe you're visiting with your mom today and you haven't been faithful and she's been praying for you. You don't do it simply for your mother, but you do it for God and yourself. But what a great gift you could give her by making that wonderful decision. If we can help you, won't you come right now?